Morning, everyone. Welcome to church. I am Oasis, as you can tell, obviously, because I'm up on the screen. But let's pray right now for our time. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you love us. God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. Father, we pray that you will be with our service this morning. God, we pray that you would just speak to us, Father. God, I pray that as we continue to walk through the NCD process the next 4 months, God, that you would just awaken within us, Father, this excitement and this joy to reach this town for you. God, I thank you for the impact we've already had and that the community has been blessed by Rosetown Community Church since it became a church, God. Father, I pray that you'll just protect them and guide them as they go into ministry further and further in this town. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So guys, so last week, I'm sure some of you are celebrating. I hope you're not. I hope that this NCD stuff has been good. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been blessed by it. I hope that it gave you a new sense of just excitement, of joy for the things that God is going to do in us and through us into this community. I think it's exciting stuff. So we've been talking about these 8 quality characteristics that churches that are really healthy have. And it's about looking at the context, right? And how we can get healthy in here so that we as a church can be more effective out there, out in the community. I just thought about that as I pointed. Which way am I pointing? But we want to be healthy all around us. That's the important thing. The NCD process found that churches that are effectively living out these 8 quality characteristics are the most effective. And further than that, having these quality characteristics are good, but having them the right way is better, right? So we talked so far about leadership. And we don't want to have leadership. We want leadership that is empowering. We don't want just want ministry, do we? We want ministry that's gift-based. And I've been talking about how this next series we're going to be doing is Conversations with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be starting to look at our gifts. And we're going to do some gift analysis together. And we're going to look at what your gifts are with you. Some of you know what your gifts are. And hey, maybe God's cultivating new gifts within you. And we're going to work together to find those. And it's really going to be just a great experience together, growing together. So we also want spirituality that is passionate. We want to be passionate about the things that stir the heart of God. We want to have structures in here that are effective. We don't want to be religious, but we want to have structures that are effective to make us more effective as a church. We want to have inspirational worship services. When we come, we want to have services that are inspiring, that the Spirit is flowing into us, right? That's what we want. And I want us to continue to have some Spirit-flowing services. I think that's what makes a difference. We want services that have teaching, we want praise, and we want liturgy. And then we want small groups that are holistic, where we can minister to the heads with doctrine and wisdom. We want to minister to your hands with service, and we want to minister to your hearts, a spiritual experience. And quality 7 was need-oriented evangelism. And our evangelism is going to be based on 3 pieces: praying, caring, and sharing. And that's what we talked about last week. So what is this 8th quality? What is this 8th quality characteristic? Well, this last quality, I want to tell you, this quality is what got me excited when I came here. It's one of the reasons when I talked to Pastor John Drisner when I first thought about coming, when I've talked to others, it's one of these characteristics that really just got me excited, got me pumped up. And there's lots of reasons why I came, yes, and why I applied, because I was led by the Holy Spirit. But one of these qualities is actually one of the things that got me so excited. And it's a loving relationship. It's loving relationships. And our sign outside, loving God by loving people. That's what this church does so, so well. So why is loving relationships such an important thing? Do you know why I was so excited about the loving relationships I saw here and I experienced here when I first came as a guest? Well, let's talk about loving relationships. The NCD program likes to call the measurable amount of love as the love quotient, and it's kind of a weird term. But the higher the love quotient, just like the math process of division, because we need to have a higher number of this quality in order to grow. And the churches with the higher number of this quality typically are growing or are ready for growth. But churches with low numbers of this quotient, this relational love, are in decline, or they're stagnant. They're not growing. They say many don't like this expression, but it kind of makes sense when you think about it. And there were questions in the survey that we did that allowed us to determine how loving we are, how loving our relationships are to one another. How often do we get together outside of the church was one of the types of questions. How often do we interact here, and how do we interact here at the church? How do we interact when we see each other? You say, oh, great, you know, there's Nathan. I guess I have to talk to him. Hey, Nathan. Oh, man, there's Bill. Hey, Bill, I guess I got to talk to you now. And you put on a fake smile. No, but you love to interact. You want to have relationship with each other, don't you? It's important. How often when you're here do you invite someone for coffee or lunch? How much do we like to compliment each other? How much happiness do we have with one another? All of these things, plus more, point to this strong correlation of the growth of the church. Love according to the Bible is just not warm and fuzzies, is it? Love in the Bible manifests itself to action. Love isn't just, oh, I love you, but it's taking action. It's doing something for each other. And in Scripture, what do we know about love? Well, love is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? So if love is a fruit, love is visible. Love is measurable. We can actually see it in our lives and how we act, how we treat others. So the factors of loving relationships turned out to be more significant than many of the other methods that are keyed in on by most churches. Let me re-say that. Loving relationships turns out to be more important than all these other things that other churches focus on, whether being their building, their music, their cool lights, their sound system, their programs that they run. Loving relationships are the most important thing we have. But why should we be surprised by this? Authentic love in a church is a huge force. It's a greater magnetic force than all of the marketing efforts we can do. Better than our signs, better than our Facebook, better than our webpage, better than your Twitter, Instagram, any of that. We need love. Authentic love. Man. And you know, when you think about it, if we market the church with all these sorts of things, it's kind of like fake flowers. Sure, they might look nice. It might seem nice. But when you smell it, there's no fragrance. There's no aroma. Real love is that smell that many cannot resist. When you invite someone to church, we want them to feel love. We want them to feel love between each other, that we love each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But the first thing we want them to experience is love. Love from us. It's so important. And I think it's one of the things that this church is so blessed and gifted with. That was one of the things after Stacy and I came here and preached and candidated, and we got back in the vehicle and started driving back to Lloyd, and we said, boy, these people are amazing. They're so gracious. They're so loving. And it was an amazing thing to actually experience. And each day we are so thankful for each and every one of you to be in loving relationships with each of you. It really actually chokes a guy up. And I tell my friends that are pastors, I tell my friends that aren't pastors how blessed we are to have amazing people like you guys. And I want you to know how much we love you guys. So I guess let's talk about what do loving relationships look like. Biblical loving relationships have three pieces. They have justice, they have truth, and they have grace. And more widespread than the biblical concept is the idea about this romantic notion of love that eliminates justice, truth, and reduces grace to only certain aspects about biblical understanding of grace. It's because a lot of people don't fully understand grace. Trying to find the balance of justice, truth, and grace is thought of by many as a new thing. But let's talk about them. Justice. Does that mean I get to be the judge? I love being the judge. It's my favorite thing. Handing down sentences, deciding people's, you know, their future. No. This is not justice. Zechariah 7, 9-10 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice by showing mercy and compassion to one another." When we jump to Proverbs, boy, I'm jumping ahead here. Proverbs 29, 7. "The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern." Do you get what justice means? It means we take care of each other. If Bill's hurting, I'm hurting, and I'm trying to take care of him. If Nathan's hurting, I'm hurting, and I need to care for him. If Mel's hurting, I'm hurting, and I need to show care for him. It's about showing care. It's about showing mercy. It's about compassion. We need to make sure each other's rights are looked after. We need to make sure each of us are looked after. We need to seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. It says that in that back corner. As believers, we need to seek justice for people. Justice is concern for others. Genuine respect for people. For people's concern. That's the dictionary definition. Synonyms for justice is fairness, fair play, fair-mindedness, equality, equity, even-handedness, egalitarianism, impartiality, impartialness, lack of bias. It means it doesn't matter if it's you or me, I'm here for you. We can't be disinterested in each other. We need to be interested. We need to care about the things that move you and hurt you. We love you no matter what. That's what love is in the church. We love people because they are loved by God and we are loved by God. We didn't have to do anything to earn that love. And that's what's so amazing about God's love. So if we jump to the second piece, it's truth. And truth aims at love, and love aims at truth. And the goal, 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." See, the command is not the goal. The command is not the goal. Love is the goal. Command is the means. It is the subordinate. Truth serves love. We don't evangelize to build our kingdom, do we? I'm not here going out to the town. When we do Lenten lunch, we weren't going out to try to build my kingdom. Like, look at the kingdom of Pastor Dave, and look at how good Rosetown Community Church is doing. No, it's about Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. And that's what we need to remember in all things. He's the truth. He's the purpose. We evangelize because God loves everyone, period. I didn't do anything to deserve that love, but He loves me. God loves us before we knew him. We didn't have to do anything to earn that, did we? Likewise, we need to show that love to others. The third one is grace. Grace. And grace and love are inseparable terms. They're inseparable. They can't be separated. They're put together like the pages on a book. They're inseparable. When you have a book, you can't just start tearing pages out, can you? Because then you don't have a book. Love always requires grace. It may surprise you. You might not know this. Ella might tell you sometimes, but sometimes I make mistakes. Stacy might tell you, I make mistakes. I know this is a surprise, but I make mistakes. And Stacy shows me grace. My kids show me grace. And every day I live in God's amazing grace. So how do I know that love and grace are together? Should be the scripture that we all first learned probably is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? But will have eternal life. See, God sent his son for me. I didn't even know who he was. I wasn't even a glimmer. My parents weren't a glimmer. But God sent his son Jesus for me so that I could have a relationship for him. I didn't deserve it, but he sent him so that I could have grace. That same grace that was poured onto me, I need to share with everyone. If that same grace that was poured onto you, you need to share with everyone. It's amazing. It's an amazing concept just to share that grace. We all make mistakes. With everyone I come in contact with, I need to share that grace. Even if they make me crazy. Because sometimes we make each other crazy. But we need to lump grace upon grace on people. So three pieces of love: justice, truth, and grace. So while Mary and the team, I'm going to invite them to come up. I'm hoping they're coming right now. I want to share some scriptures with you about love. And in these scriptures are pieces interwoven about justice, truth, and grace. And it's interesting. So 1 John 3:11 says, the message you heard from the very beginning is what? We must love one another. John 13:34 says, and now I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave us love, truth, and grace. That means we need to love each other with love, truth, and grace. Leviticus 19:18, do not take revenge on others or continue to hate them, but you must love your neighbors as you love yourself. I am the Lord. Romans 13:8 says, be under obligation to no one. The only obligation you have is to love one another. Whoever does this has obeyed the law. First Corinthians 16:14, do all your work in love. Ephesians 4:2 and 3 says, be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds you together. And 1 Peter 3:8 and 9 says, to conclude, you must all have the same attitude and the same feelings. Love one another and be kind and humble with one another. Do not pay back evil with evil or cursing with cursing. Instead, pay back with a blessing, because the blessing is what God promised to give you when he called you. We need to love one another. Grace. Right? Justice and truth. Those are what we need for love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we love you. We honor you. Thank you, God, for loving us, for showing us grace, for giving us justice, and being the truth. Father, I pray that we would share this love with others, with everyone we come in contact with. God, we love you, and we love this town, and God, we pray for it. God, we pray you will bless this town. Pour your spirit out on this town. Break down walls for this town. God, we thank you. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Mary, would you lead us in a song?